Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast, sponsored by Kel-Tec.
It's his life mission to make bad decisions. It's time for Florida Man.
Man, I've got, I don't even know what this is. I've got a whole, first, can I just, let me start with doing something weird. I'm telling you, Portland man is giving Florida man a run for his money. I got to show this headline. A Portland pastry chef mauled by off-leash dog. Dog's handler promptly ODs on fentanyl.
What?
It's a pastry chef. This is in Portland, recovering after being attacked by a dog on Monday of this week. Cheryl Wakerhauser owns Pix Patisserie. She says she was out on a run along Southeast Hawthorne Boulevard. She was attacked and mauled by a dog. She reports the dog was off leash in a parking lot. The dog grabbed her leg, attacked her legs and arm. She has 35 puncture wounds. So then she caught the eye of a driver who turned around and honked her horn to scare the dog off. She says at the same time that happened, a man with a leash walked up, said it wasn't his dog, and then led the dog away. Another witness followed the man and the dog, led police to them. And then while this was all happening, apparently the guy who owns the dog who was there apparently ODs on fentanyl. He literally ate fentanyl while the police were taking the dog. He tried to run away and then got a couple steps away and ate fentanyl. What? And then ODed immediately.
Like suicide?
I don't know. I just,
what the heck?
I don't know, man. That was ABC Channel 2 in Portland. That's a real story. Oh, let's see. So we got this. A Cape Coral man fell through the attic while hiding from police. He was, cops arrived. This was at a 28-year-old's residence, Daniel Flores. They knocked on the door, Lee County Sheriff's Office. They got no answer. They saw, the sister said she saw him go into the attic. Detectives knocked on the door. They tried to speak with him. He had an active warrant out for his arrest that they were serving. And they waited for like an hour and a half. No response. He was still in the attic. And then he literally fell through. Took their fan down and everything. Fell through. He got cut up a little bit. And they took him into custody. That's never, why do people think that they're going to hide from police? I don't know. And then there was a, golly, we may have to come back to this one because this woman is crazy. This Florida woman tried to run over her ex. She got shot at. Then she set her own car on fire in Miami-Dade. We're going to have to share this with you tomorrow because this is a whole entire soap opera by itself, this story. Stick with us. Third hour next. Kel-Tec launched into 2023 this year with a new addition to their lineup of innovative high-performance firearms. The new Kel-Tec P15 has broken the mold. Compact and maximum firepower generally don't go hand in hand. However, the P15 offers both in a uniquely small package. The P15 is an excellent choice for concealed carry. It offers plenty of dependable firepower to secure your world. This Striker Fire pistol is the lightest, thinnest, double-stack 9mm handgun on the market. At only 14 ounces, 7/8 inches wide, and a 4-inch barrel, you could say mini, but mighty. The double-stack magazine holds 15+1 total capacity. That's standard. All Kel-Tec firearms are made in the USA and come with a lifetime warranty as the original owner with proof of purchase. Sign up for the Kel-Tec Insider and get a 15% coupon for your next order of gear and accessories. The P15 is an excellent choice if you're looking for concealed carry. Learn more at KelTecWeapons.com. That's K-E-L-T-E-C weapons.com. Secure your world with Kel-Tec.
Seconds into flight. Our next major activity is going to be set down of the first stage. Houston Tracking Station now acquiring the vehicle. With set down, we will get separation of Starship and Super Heavy and ignition of the Starship engines. When Starship separates, we light up six engines in a staggered sequence. If all goes well, those six engines will burn for almost 6.5 minutes. Onboard view from Starship.
And CNN, they carried this, and then they had people say freaking out over, oh, it explodes midair on the first launch attempt. And their reaction, and the reaction that I've seen from some of the people on the left, is truly stunning. And I'm going to explain why. Welcome back to the program. Dana Lash here with you, your lovable curmudgeon. Sign up for the newsletter, chapter and verse. And this, you know, this morning it was the first test flight of this. It's the fully integrated Starship and Super Heavy rocket, and it's pretty significant. This is a huge, I know what I know and I know what I don't, but I do think that every, from what I understand, every single thing that they had involved with the creation of this rocket had been, they had it through test runs previously, but never before fully integrated like this, that thus the maiden launch. And this was, there was nobody in the rocket. It was obviously, it was an experiment. They were testing to see if they could just get the damn thing off the launch pad, ultimately, to get it up as far as they did in space, as far as they did in our atmosphere. And so SpaceX, this started trending online, a rapid unscheduled disassembly. And the left is like, well, we call that an explosion. Now, they hate Elon Musk because he bought Twitter. So they are rooting for him to fail with everything. And I was thinking about this as I'm watching here, you know, while we're on air and on break, I'm still seeing media reaction and the way that they're trying to spin it. And, oh, well, can you believe that this failed? And then SpaceX had tweeted, as if the flight test was not exciting enough, Starship experienced a rapid unscheduled disassembly before stage separation. And they apparently, there was like an engine cutoff sequence issue, and that's apparently what had happened. And they said, SpaceX had tweeted, with a test like this, success comes from what we learn, and the test today is going to help us improve Starship's reliability as SpaceX seeks to make life multi-planetary. And I think that that's, I mean, that's what science is. You experiment, and you, even when you're searching for knowledge, even when you, because you anticipate certain things aren't going to go correctly, the success comes from learning from what happened and then building off of that. And I can't believe I have to explain the process of education to the left, or that any of you do. I mean, that just, it's a little stunning. This is like some Galileo level ridiculousness here. To see the left deny the process of science, just like you saw the left deny, you know, the science with the government injection. I mean, this got off the launch pad. That is the huge thing. This was enormous. But these people want him to fail because they hate him. Like, apparently, do you know the New York Times pretty much almost had like a story about an explosion pre-written? I mean, I understand being prepared, but there's also being prepared to the point of, you know, you're trying to hurry to confirm bias. It's really stunning. It's a thing that I've noticed from the left. And I think that it is emblematic of the leftist ideology. Because think about it. There are some people in society that are incompatible with freedom. And what I mean by that is freedom is more than just liberty. It's also about your freedom to celebrate your successes, but also it's about accountability. And it's about dealing with the consequences of bad decisions or mistakes. That's also a part of freedom. And one of the reasons why I believe that so many in the progressive left reject that and want government oversight is because that is not a deal that they are willing to make. These are people who do not want to accept consequences for bad decisions. If it's too big to fail, it's too big to fail. If you don't want to work as hard as someone else and you think that you should get special considerations for your mortgages, then you just push Fannie or Freddie to make those for you, as we're seeing with, you know, for instance, this new rule on mortgages. The left does not want to deal with the consequences of bad decisions or mistakes. And that is part of liberty. You cannot have liberty, real freedom, without it. Real freedom is not a guarantee of happiness. Real freedom is the guarantee to pursue happiness. And sometimes you find it and sometimes you don't. But that's freedom. The left tries to romanticize what they think it should be. It should be a constant state of comfort. it's having a safety net 24/7 and never actually having to hit rock bottom. And that is not what freedom is. And that's why I think so many people are incompatible with it, because they are too indulgent for it. And they are too afraid of it. They're afraid to take risks. Freedom is risk. This was a risk that SpaceX took today. And they were successful. When you consider back to like some previous NASA missions, remember, what was it? Alan Shepard and some of this other stuff. They were terrified just to even see if they could get off the launch pad. And it was a huge success. And they're going to learn from what happened and build on that and then have more success. But that terrifies the left. They think that if they have the government involved, they can have an assurance of never having to deal with bad stuff. No consequences. They don't have to put themselves out there too much. They have a guaranteed everything. They want guaranteed income. They want a universal income. They want a universal this. They want all their health care taken care of, no matter what choices they make with their lives. They don't even want accountability of creating life. It is all about whatever's comfortable, and that is not what freedom is. That's why I say some people are absolutely, their view on life is incompatible with freedom. And these are the same people that throughout history have looked down on those who take risk, the entrepreneurs, the scientists, the philosophers, the everybody. I mean, you know, Galileo sitting here trying to tell people, look, this is basic science. And everyone who wanted to, you know, believe in anti-science theory disagreed with him, and they called him, you know, everything under the book. Reputation ruined. It's not unlike what you see today with another theory on the government injection.
And now, all of the news you would probably miss. It's time for Dana's Quick Five.
So Microsoft has dropped Twitter from its advertising platform. It's another service that passed on paying for Twitter's new high-priced API. And so for some of the people listening, you may have noticed that I can't embed like tweets into my Substack newsletter chapter and verse anymore. And it's because of this issue. So they changed, and they're basically trying to make money off of that. So if you want to be able to have that embed capability, like for instance in Substack or like with Microsoft, because of the API, the high price, they've dropped it from their advertising platform. And it's one of the reasons why also Substack is had those issues too. So it's very interesting. Now Musk is now threatening to sue Microsoft over using Twitter data for its AI. So similar but separate. It says they trained illegally using Twitter data, and he said it was lawsuit time on social media. This was after Microsoft announced that they were dropping it from Twitter from their advertising platform. So they said that the AI is using Twitter data, and that's his allegation. So it looks like they're going to be going to court for that. So the CDC approves a new government injection. I know you're going to go out and get one right away, right? The government approved a second dose of the COVID booster. There's like four or five shots out there right now already. They say that these booster injections target the Omicron variants, and seniors 65 years or older can receive the injection. No idea whether or not this particular injection was actually tested to see if it prevented transmission, because the earlier ones all were not. I don't hold out hope, and I'm still not doing it. There you go. This is wild. An NIH-funded study. Up to 1 in 4 middle and high school students are using Adderall. And in fact, in some U.S. schools, so I went and looked at this. This is actually, I think, maybe even underplaying the problem. They said that up to 25% of students in some U.S. schools are abusing, because they don't really need it, ADHD drugs. And they said a lot of this happened over coronavirus, the pandemic. The lockdown made it to where everybody got really relaxed with regulations and testing as well. Because if you're going to go in and get, you know, if you're going to get diagnosed with ADD, you go through a gamut of tests. At least if you're seeing an actual qualified medical doctor, then that's what happens. But a lot of people were just throwing out scripts, is kind of what it sounds like. So the use of Adderall has soared. And that's one of the reasons, I guess, why there's a shortage of it. And yeah, I mean, it has since March of 2020, it's more than doubled in usage by kids, more than doubled. That is stunning. So coming up, the latest on the budget battle, GOP infighting, media, all kinds of stuff. Stick with us.
You also plan to make important investments to address the roadway safety crisis, including the critical funding that would accelerate the development. And this is an area I've written to you about, of the use of female dummies in crash testing. This will start to fight the gender inequity among vehicle safety and crash victims.
What in Cinnamon Toast Crunch hell did I just watch? First off, what's Perry Farrell doing in Congress? When did he get elected? I thought he was like really busy with Jane's addiction. Lynn, once, which was five. I entrust you, Lynn. That was, what's her face? Rosa DeLauro?
Yeah.
I mean, I could be convinced that, you know, all right, Perry passes. He passes. That's it. He passes as a chick there, in a way. So welcome back to the program, Dana Lash. That's her big area. Is why don't they just use her? Female crash test dummies? Really? It's that? That's a thing? That's a thing that she's like really concerned about? We gotta have.
Yeah, first she said female dummies, and then crash test dummies.
Yeah, she had to hurry up, and I mean, so no one is under the impression that it's me I'm talking about here. So Rosa DeLauro, that's an, I'm not making this up, that she actually said that. She praised Mayor Southbend for working to ensure that female crash test dummies are used in vehicle crash testing. Is there?
Oh, my God. I can't.
Guys, I think I'm going to play this audio soundbite all the rest of the show. I'm not joking you. This is one of the dumbest things I've ever heard. Is there some sort of like significant difference? If you say boobs, what, I mean, for real, like, what is the, why is that a thing? Is that actually a thing? Like, why would that be important? I mean, everybody's head gets bashed in the same way if they're not wearing their seatbelt and stuff, right? I mean, yeah. I'm just curious as to why that's the thing. I mean, there's certain things that, but she's like, this is my big, because of gender equity with car crash studies. That's what she had said. Oh, man. They don't believe in protecting women's sports, but they do want female crash test dummies. Damn it. Get it right. I mean, women's sports. No, I mean, who cares? But women crash test dummies. That's where we're going to. That's the hill we're on, which we're planting this flag. Representative Farrell. From California, I'm sorry, DeLauro. She's from New York.
I always felt like female crash test dummies didn't get enough representation.
Well, I mean, I see them in Congress all the time. I think they like mistakenly shipped them to the wrong place. I can make a million jokes here. I'm made of jokes now for the rest of the program on this. I mean, good heavens. You know how you, I mean, there's a, there, you, golly, I can't even. I'm turning into Norm MacDonald right now. I just have three things in my mind that I can't say. None of them I can share. Yeah, sorry, she's from Connecticut, not New York. Representative Perry Fair. I'm Rosa DeLauro.
Right.
And she says, yes, you know, it's we. She literally said we have to fight the gender inequity amongst crash victims. This is where I'm just, I just think that there's too much time on some people's hands. I mean, it's a damn car crash, right? You're going to get busted up regardless. I mean, there might be a little bit, there might be a couple of differences, but you're going to, this is so goofy. And it's goofy because this is what they're talking about while refusing to protect women's sports. Make this make sense. They won't protect women's sports, but this is their, you know, the female crash test dummies. It's where it's at, I'm telling you. Now, the other remark, audio soundbite 23, from Mayor Secretary Southbend, Poot Booty Judge, Geig. I'm turning into Moira Rose talking about fruit wine. Secretary Mayor Southbend, he was talking about transportation because roads are racist, and also the weather. Listen.
Of both profound challenge and historic opportunity for U.S. transportation. On one hand, our transportation systems are still grappling with the consequences of the pandemic, climate change, and decades of disinvestment.
That's all Democrats talk about doing, though, is we need more roads and bridges.
Spend more money.
And also, I mean, a lot of this stuff is state regulated, like with a lot of the, that's the other thing that they don't apparently realize. But it's climate change, Kane. You know, it's made the traffic issues, the transportation problems, you know, because it rains and it makes him have to stay home because he doesn't want to get wet. He doesn't want to, like, walk out, you know, with his little Buster Brown loafers and get mud, you know. I mean, so he stays home. It's climate change affecting transportation because he can't do his job, Kane.
You know, what's upsetting is that the climate changes four times a year. It's really frustrating for somebody like Pete.
Yeah, the climate also changed in Texas. It is cloudy-er. It changed here. I don't know. Guys, I can't even almost make fun of it anymore because we pay for this. This is our government at work, if you want to call it that. Man. But I think that it also sounds like they're just trying to justify this department. I mean, what is the point of this department? We have supply issues. We have, a lot of holdup at ports, particularly in Los Angeles, to say nothing of rail. Now everyone's paying attention to rail. Notice all the people who got mad at the Keystone Pipeline and demanded that crude be transported via rail. They're not saying anything now. They're all quiet. It's really difficult to talk about it.
Thanks for tuning in to today's edition of Dana Lash's Absurd Truth Podcast. If you haven't already, make sure to hit that subscribe button on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.